everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
In Christ Alone became their anthem, and for the rest of us, one of Christian music's most beloved all-time classics, with millions of listeners, downloads, and more. No doubt this Irish-American duo and band had no idea the impact one song would make, nor the demand for the hymns they so beautifully sing and orchestrate with a flavor that is distinctly Irish, as their native homeland gives away, and beautifully so. Their latest tour, An Irish Christmas, A Celebration of Carols, will soon be heard from the stages of Carnegie Hall, the Kennedy Center, and major platforms throughout the U.S. A must experience for the entire family in a rare exclusive is leader, husband, father, and musician to his beautiful bride, lead vocalist, and mother of three, Kristen Getty. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony in Word and Song, internationally renowned recording artist, Keith Getty. Keith, welcome to Testimony.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much indeed.
Well, it's great to have you. It's an honor indeed. Keith, you and your wife, Kristen, have literally made Christian music history with your internationally acclaimed In Christ Alone, which we will hear at the end of this program, as well as your love of hymns, which you have brought fresh life and reverence to, along with a rich ensemble of amazing and gifted musicians, dancers, and beautiful vocals. And if that were not enough, Keith, you let all of us, your audience, sing along with you. Can you tell us about your current tour, An Irish Christmas, A Celebration of Carols? And then, in our brief time here today, would you tell us how God brought you and your beautiful bride, Kristen, together in Christ, in marriage, in music, and more? Keith Getty, please tell us your story.
Well, as you so beautifully said, my life's work is writing hymns. Is writing hymns and being a steward of hymns, whether that's my own hymns or those from the generations before me or those from the generations we hope that will come after us. And so that's our work, and of course Christmas hymns or Christmas carols. So our Christmas show is quite unique in that it's a celebration of really religious carols. It's, the first half of the show is a high-energy music and dance celebration of carols, because many of the early carols were rebel songs. They were songs that were danced in communities. They were public songs that allowed people to tell the story, the Christmas story. It's a story that's told in songs, Zechariah's song, Simeon's song, Mary's song, the angel's song. And so people reenacted this from the start, and so that's where the carol tradition really found its legs and began. And so the first half is like about a 45-minute high-energy music and dance celebration of carols. Then the second half of the concert is a lessons in carols. It's like a church service where we read through the Christmas story. We do some of our own carols that we've written, and finish with a big, massive carol, say, at Carnegie Hall, at Kennedy Center, at the Fox Theater in Atlanta, all these wonderful auditoriums where we get have the privilege to get to sing the Christmas story.
Wow, that's tremendous. Now, everyone wants to know how you met your beautiful bride, Kristen.
Well, I met my beautiful bride, Kristen, through her uncle. Her uncle was Professor John Lennox, who helped me a lot with faith and helped me have a real confidence in the faith that we learned as a child as a Christian. And so he became a great friend of mine and an inspiration to my life. And then he introduced me to his little niece to help her with her music, and that was Kristen. And so I've been trying to help her ever since.
Well, you have helped her beautifully, and she is such a wonderful compliment to you. What a golden, humble, and pure voice. There was not a sound. You could hear a pin drop at the National Religious Broadcasters where I first heard your duo and your group. Now, hymns. Why the hymns? Why your love of hymns? Where did you get that?
Well, I grew up with hymns, and they were profound to me. But there was really three things I was passionate about in church music. One of those was that God's people learn their faith through what we sing. To be a Christian in the 21st century, I think, is the most exciting generation in history to be Christians. And so we wanted to write hymns that help teach the Bible. Secondly, hymns were all about each generation singing together. So we wanted to write hymns that each generation could sing, that were folk hymns that churches around the world could sing. Sorry, my daughter just walked into the tambourine. And then the third thing was, the hymn tradition was always that you would write hymns and books and pass them down generation to generation. So I guess that's the dream with these songs. Many of my dearest friends write modern worship songs, and these are really meant to be a complement to that. But the modern worship song is very much trying to write something that sounds like now, that sounds like what's in the radio now. And we wanted to write more sort of, I guess, in a slightly more timeless classic style of writing. And so that's what we do. So they're really meant to be a companion to modern worship music, these hymns.
And you do it, and beautifully so, without losing the reverence of the author and how you bring it all together. How gratifying, difficult, joyful, frustrating, elating, or none of the aforementioned has it been to have a career in music, a wife, a family, and now a world tour?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. First of all, I'm primarily a hymn writer, which is actually a very boring job. What that means is I get up every day, and as a tunesmith, I try to write melodies. And if I get one that I'm really am passionate about, I will actually record it or write it down in manuscript sometimes. I still have to do that occasionally, just to be different. And I reckon about 1 in 100 of those actually becomes a song. But 1 in 100 of the attempts. So it's a lot of constant hard work to try and get small results. And then the other side of the coin, of course, is the privilege of getting to hear the songs being sung. When I write songs, I'm not dreaming of something that's going to be sung on the radio. I'm not dreaming of something that some famous artist might record it. I'm not dreaming of something that puts me on a big stage. I'm dreaming of trying to write music that God's church around the world will sing. That, to me, is the highest privilege of any writer, and I'm thankful that I have some of the skills that allow me to get to do that.
Last question in our brief time here today. Where did the inspiration for In Christ Alone come?
Well, Stuart Townend, I always feel, deserves most of the credit. I wrote the melody, and then he just penned a stunning lyric on top. We moved back and forward a little bit in some things, but really it was just his extraordinary ability, and so that was the first of my hymns to be recorded.
Did you ever think you would be where you are today because of that one song?
Well, you know, I don't think about it too much. I mean, I think obviously we have had as human beings and as artists and as leaders are a privilege, and we don't take that for granted. But I think what it really did for me was realize that paved the way for me to have a career, to give my working life to trying to help build the church around the world through hymns. And that's contributed to the church. So, you know, it helped us, you know, support ourselves, and it gave us a confidence to more opportunities to write more. But I think most of all, it made people realize what we're trying to do. So in saying modern hymn, people go, is that a worship song? Is that a old hymn with a funky chorus? Is that people in robes? Is that old people? And you go, in Christ Alone, everybody gets it. Okay, I see that. Yeah, that works. That makes sense to me. You know, so I think that was really the critical thing that it did.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally renowned recording artist Keith Getty of the award-winning Keith and Kristen Getty Irish-American Band, known around the world for their mega-hit classic, In Christ Alone. You can learn more about the Getty's music, ministry, and current tour dates by visiting gettymusic.com. And be a part of the joy, the music, and the gift of an Irish Christmas, a celebration of carols, now touring nationwide in a city near you. Keith, it has been an absolute joy hearing just a little of your story with your beloved Kristen and the glorious music you have both created, giving hymns a place of prominence and Christ a place of honor. We thank you, and God bless you. And now, without further ado, Keith and Kristen Getty, In Christ Alone.
In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. In Christ alone, my
is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.